Calling all detectives. Stolen bonds, a diamond ring, and a pack of cigarettes. Those are the exhibits on this page from my casebook. The casebook of Jerry Browning, private detective. A private detective like me, Jerry Browning, knows that some people have a natural gift for trouble. It was 9 a.m, and I was feeling real noble. This year, I'd do my Christmas shopping early. It was a fine idea, except that I was a little too early, because the sign on the door of Julian's department store said that store hours began at 9:30. So I bought a newspaper. The big headline was about a robbery at a brokerage firm on Carteret Avenue. $20,000 in bonds stolen. The thieves had pried open a small ventilator, managed to send one of their number squirming through it, who then unlocked the door from the inside. Well, at least one gang in town had solved the problem of where to get shopping money. Along about then, Julian's opened for business, and I started my Christmas shopping. A fine pipe for Lieutenant Dawson, a travel kit for Wilbur Norris, a classy desk set for John Cooley, and for my pal Louie, the loudest sports shirt I could find. It took a while to find the right sports shirt, and it was almost 11 o'clock when I headed for the toy department. It was quite a deal. There were signs all over the place. This way to Santa's castle. Adults admitted only if accompanied by a child. That's when I saw Bill Carlin, the store detective. He was closing the heavily draped entrance to the castle. I pushed my way through to him. Hey, what's up, Bill? Are you telling these kids there ain't no Santa Claus? Bill glared at me, yanked me over to him.
Don't talk so loud, Jerry, because there certainly ain't no Santa Claus. Somebody just murdered him.
While I was Christmas shopping, I learned that the Santa Claus at a big department store had been murdered. Bill Carlin, the store detective, led me to a small room off the toy department. Santa Claus was there, all right, with a small bullet hole in his chest. Who did it, Bill?
How should I know? They just hire me to keep people from stealing the escalators.
But you must have heard the shot, Bill. The store detective rolled his eyes.
Shot? I hear a million shots all day. Machine guns, cannons, pistols, all toys.
Okay, so you didn't hear the shot. What's this poor guy's name?
How should I know? Come on, we'll check him at the personnel office.
The personnel manager found Santa's employment card.
His name is Ralph Clayton, age 54, married, 2 children, social security number 3190276, address 438 Mulberry Street, telephone Bryant 9435.
Jerry, you break the news to his family while I get the cops in here as quietly as possible.
A man answered the phone. I'd like to talk to Mrs. Clayton, please. She's out? Well, who am I talking to? Mr. Clayton? Mr. Ralph Clayton? Well, this is Jerry Browning, a private detective. Stay right where you are, Mr. Clayton. I'm coming to see you. At the Mulberry Street address, I talked to a very much alive Ralph Clayton.
My wallet was stolen about a week ago, Mr. Browning. Had my Social Security card in it. You say a man has been impersonating me, a Santa Claus? Dear me, how quaint.
Not so quaint, Mr. Clayton. He's dead. Julian's store was swarming with cops when I got back. The whole toy department was roped off and empty of customers. I spotted Lieutenant Dawson talking with Bill Carlin, the store detective, went over to them.
Hello, Jerry. We've identified Santa Claus from his fingerprints. He's Pete Groton with a record in 4 states.
That's nice work, Dawson. And did you also find out why Groton stole a Social Security card and impersonated his victim? Dawson frowned.
Well, not yet. But we'll get to it.
Okay. And you might also figure out how the killer got some kid to stooge for him. That one really stopped Dawson.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Jerry.
I pointed to all the signs around. Santa's castle, adults admitted only if accompanied by a child. A killer couldn't get at Santa unless he had a kid with him. Your men have chased all the kids away, which includes the one possible witness to the murder. Dawson wagged his head mournfully, and Bill sighed with sympathy for him.
This is one of the times I'm glad I only have to worry about shoplifting.
I turned to Bill as Dawson hurried off. Bill, did you grab any shoplifters this morning?
Huh? Oh, sure. Five of them this morning. This is a busy season. A woman trying to walk out with a dress, two guys shoving neckties in their pockets, another one who tried to wear a store overcoat out.
What'd you do with them?
Unless they're pros, I stop them inside the store and they pay for the stuff.
Hey, wait a second. You said you nabbed five shoplifters this morning, but you only mentioned four.
Oh, I must have made a mistake. I guess there was only four of them.
I stared at him, watched his face turn red. You're holding out on me, Bill. Must the new sentimental slob? Was the fifth one a kid?
Well, yeah. But he didn't exactly shoplift. I grabbed him before he got the ring into his pocket. A little bit of a guy, and he was trying to swipe this ring for his mother on account of he had no father, and
on account of he knew a chump when he saw one. A bell was ringing in my mind. I took the newspaper out of my pocket, showed Bill the headline, "The Brokerage Company Robbery, Entry Made Through a Small Ventilator." Bill, who can wriggle through a small ventilator?
You mean a kid?
Yeah, a kid. Or a midget. Bill, what's the best disguise at this time of year? Don't answer, I'll tell you. It's a Santa Claus costume. The streets are full of them. Pete Groton took this Santa job here, could go all over town in costume without being recognized.
Well, okay, maybe, but what has that got to do with midgets and kids that try to snaffle rings in my store?
Because Groton must have been working with a midget. He wouldn't dare trust a kid. He probably arranged for his accomplice to come up here for his cut on the job, and while the midget was roaming around, he thought he'd pick up a little stray loot. Except that you nabbed him.
Yeah, and I let him go.
But you did see him. Come on, let's get Dawson. We found Dawson, told him my theory about a midget.
That could be Shorty Malone. I sent out a general alarm for him.
They picked up Shorty Malone that same evening as he was trying to board a train. He was dressed in a kid's sailor suit, but made the mistake of having a pack of cigarettes bulging his jumper pocket.
That's a kid I picked up in the store this morning. I'll never believe another sob story again.
And that wrapped it up. Shorty was the murderer, of course. Groton tried to hold out a share of the loot on the bond robbery job and paid for the mistake with his life. As for Shorty, he might have gotten away with it if he hadn't made the mistake of trying to steal a ring. Like I said, if you have a gift for trouble, you may do fine for the present, but there's no future in it.